Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Another week done and dusted. The weekend is here for McDonald's. This is Triple M Footy.
And a very good afternoon across the Triple M network. We're getting closer and closer to finals time. It's Triple M NRL results so far this week. Manly continue on their winning way, 32-12 over the Tigers. Parramatta 36, Titans 12. Broncos 24, Panthers 12. Then we had the blowout with the Knights 42 over the Cowboys 6. Then we had the comeback, the Raiders to beat the Melbourne Storm there, 22 points to 18. The Doggies just keep continuing to knock over those big scalps with a 14-6 victory over the Rabbitohs. So we'll get the boys to have a look at the ladder today, because lots of twists and turns and lots of things depending on these couple of games today. If we can get a couple of upsets, if we can get the Warriors home, if we can get the Dragons home, who knows where we go from there. My name's Anthony Maroon, by the way. Joining me, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent and James Hooper from the Fox League. I'll start with you, James, because you got some news there, some charges out of the judiciary straight away.
What a cracking contest that was last night, Anthony, between the Melbourne Storm and the Raiders. And yeah, look, there will be some match review committee charges. Cameron Munster, the Melbourne Storm 5'8". He's going to be hit with a grade one dangerous contact charge. He'll escape suspension if he takes the early plea. That's only worth 90 points. And then big Joey Tarpanay obviously let a little one go on Nelson Asofa Solomona. He's also going to be charged with contrary conduct grade one. He can escape with a fine if he takes the early plea, Anthony.
All right. And Paul Kent, you've had just a quiet weekend at home, mate. How are you feeling? How's everything?
Fine, mate. Everything's good.
Everything's going good?
Yep. Good footy yesterday.
Big show, plenty to talk about. Plenty of stuff that'll tickle your fancy, Paul, or as Kramer says, plenty of stuff that'll scratch you where you itch. And we'll get to that very shortly. And Gordon Tallis, nice to see you again, old mate. We'll talk more about your cooking adventures that I noticed over on social media there.
Yeah, I had a day at a Coles yesterday down at Carolee, or out at Carolee. It's near Ipswich.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was
beautiful,
a great
part of the world.
Yeah. Great. What?
No, it is. Yeah. I know Carolee. I've got some friends there.
Yeah, no, it was a great little spot, and did a couple of hours there in a supermarket. Some healthy menu choices.
Yeah, you did. I tell you what, you looked like you knew what you were doing there too. I like the way you did that salsa.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, the dancing.
Not the dancing.
Oh. Well, he was a good sort.
Big show coming up today. We're going to speak to a good mate of all of ours here, Nathan Brown, the Newcastle Knights. They had a good victory yesterday. The Doggies, they just continue to knock off the big scalps. And where does that leave the Rabbitohs? Well, we'll ask the boys all about that as well. Some of our regular segments coming up as well. And Tevita Pengai Jr. is suspended 4 weeks. We're going to discuss that off the back of what Gus Gould had to say. So there's lots and lots of things happening in and around rugby league. Some of them are fun, but most importantly, some of them are serious. When we need to get serious, we get serious. As Triple M rocks the footy, thanks to our mates at Maccas and Ream, right here on Triple M. Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps, Hooper and Maroon talking rugby league till 3 o'clock this afternoon. A big game this afternoon. Dan will call it for you. Real local derby today. Two Sharks taking on the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Top three at the moment. Storm have just bolted. 36 points. Roosters and Raiders now in equal second on 30 points. So the Raiders had a very gutsy, characteristic win last night over the Storm, and they came back to do it 22 points to 18. First time in the history the Storm have surrendered an 18-0 lead. And, well, I got asked the obvious question, Hoops, can they go all the way, the Raiders?
I don't see why not, Anthony. That's one of the best ambushes we've seen in recent years in rugby league. You go back to last year's grand final, I thought the Roosters did an outstanding job on really breaking down and disassembling the Melbourne Storm. And well, last night it was the Canberra Raiders. And as you just pointed out, no Melbourne Storm side has ever surrendered an 18-0 lead. On top of that, they had two players sent to the sin bin at different stages, Jack Whiten and Joey Tarpanay. Joey Tarpanay also left the field ultimately with a rib injury, so that takes them down to 16 men, aside from the fact that they were also forced to play with 12 for 20 minutes in the opening half. It's as gutsy as they get, and it was Josh Hodgson who came up with the big play, the one-on-one strip, and away they went.
Yeah, I want to stop you there on the one-on-one strip, because on the back of that, here's what Ricky Stewart had to say. Here's some audio, thanks to Fox League.
The one that we fairly and squarely got changes the game. But yet we get people who want to, because they are on the receiving end or unfortunately can't execute it the way that we can, want to scrap the rule. I think it brings a little bit of unpredictability to the game. Where you're seeing fans sit on the edge of the seat because of a certain execution in the game, I think it's a good thing. It gets more people to a game.
Well, I think he's 100% right there, Paul Kent, because, you know, finally players are coming up with a way to combat this one-on-one strip rule, make an art form of it, and now we're discussing whether or not this rule's right or wrong.
Yeah, well, it should stay in the game. Look, the fact is, when teams are getting through their sets and they're just going five tackles to a kick, if you're on the receiving end of that, it's very hard to change momentum. It's very hard to get into the game if the other team's playing so well. And one of the ways that you can arrest that momentum that they've got is a strip, because we don't have enough contested possessions in the game any longer where you can actually use contest possession to actually change the momentum on in the game. And I think for that reason it's a good rule. And I think that once we calm down and get to reality with it, we'll stick with it.
There's a decent stink going on there, Maroon, between Ricky Stewart and Trent Robinson. And I think if you trace it back, it was Robbo who initially, in the lead up to their game last week, labelled Canberra conservative. and when you look at the stats, you know, I've found the Raiders one of the most exciting sides to watch this season. So I think then Robbo had some strong statements to make after the game about the stripping rule and the fact that he didn't like it and who introduced it, etc. And then Ricky's obviously...
I think Daly Messenger did there about 100 years ago. The stripping's been in the game. Mm. I played with Alan Langer. That was really good at it.
Mm.
And it's only going to benefit the game if you're getting one-on-one tackles and there's no wrestle on the ground. It's got to be better for the game.
So you like
it's your responsibility to hold on to the football. It always has been. The ball's gold to you. You got to, first off, catch it, take a hit up. And if there's one on you, well, you should be able to beat someone with a bit of footwork and that. And if two comes on, well, then we go to the ground. There's those 5 or 6 or 7 second play the balls. If it's one-on-one and you lose the ball, that's fair game. That's a legitimate contest of you to hold on to the football. And if they're peeling off and you don't feel that they're peeling off and you don't keep your legs driving, it's yours. Well, I think it's your fault for one, but I love it in the game. I absolutely love it.
Well, without it, last night there's an argument the Canberra Raiders don't get the opportunity to win that game because it was a contested possession and Josh Hodgson's play that allows Josh Papali to score the match with.
It might make the players start thinking a bit more when they're running instead of just going up there, getting cuddled, go to the ground and whinging at the referee that someone's laying on them.
I don't follow any other sport, but can I just say this? Does every other sport, every week, someone is whinging about some rule that we have in a game that we need to change? Is there any other sport like ours? Are they all like that? Every week there's some problem with some rule.
The problem we've got, Anthony, there is that we've conditioned everybody in the game. I get emails every week from people saying, mate, why don't we do this? Why don't we just suggesting rule changes? Some are absolutely ridiculous. But people just think that this will make the game better, and the game has got an appetite for it. In the old Arthurs and Quayle days, if you wanted the rule change, and they had the international rules, the game around the world was all played under the same system. It's not now. The NRL has two referees. The English Super League has one referee. But we play certain rules that aren't around in the international game, and it took 2 years back then. If a coach proposed a rule change, they'd take it. You had to submit it in writing. You had to go and they had to be pressure tested, and then off they went. And it would be 2 years before it would be implemented. Now, we just need a competition committee meeting. Suddenly, the rule changes, and I just don't think that they put enough. Yeah, it's the old sort of bubble in the carpet effect. You know, you fix the bubble here, another one pops up somewhere else. And so we're fixing one problem and we're seeing all these unforeseen problems pop up in the game with some of these rule changes. I think we need to get a hold on all this sort of stuff and just calm down.
I think you get bubbles in the Little Bay compound carpet, don't you, when you eat those funny gummy bears on a Friday night sometimes. But now, on a serious note, it's part of the theatre of rugby league, Anthony. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough to say it's a part of the theatre of rugby league, but this Josh Hodgson is one of the most exciting, great players. Canberra are full of players somebody said it before, they're exciting. Canberra are full of players that are great to watch.
Yeah, and they all think about their footy. That's a big play because he thought about it. It's something that he's gone in, he's worked hard on it. It could have went the other way, where it's a six to go, the ball hits the ground, and you've raked at the footy. So it's a massive play to make in a big moment, in a massive moment that gives now the Raiders, I think, the confidence to be down 18-0, two sent to the sin bin, and come over the top of one of the hardest sides that strangle you in the corners and just make it really, really hard and gritty for you. And they end up beating them on their feet. They beat them at their own game last night, which is massive. That is a huge win for the Canberra Raiders.
And I'll tell you what, it would be, obviously I'm not a Raiders supporter, but it would be wonderful to see this current crop of Canberra.
You don't get any jobs down there?
Well, it's a little bit far. Oh. My grandkids lived down there for a while, so I've racked up a few Ks. I love Canberra as a place, but I was a big fan of Ricky Stewart as a footballer. And I would love to see him, and I'd love to see, after so many years, I would love to see them, you know, go close to winning a premiership again, and they're going so well.
They are flying at the moment, yeah. Anthony, and I don't see there's any reason why they can't. Off the back of this victory last night, Gordy, as a group, what does that do for the playing group, the confidence that it gives you, and also the timing of it being so close to September?
I think it's the belief. When you go into big games, you've got to know that if you do everything that you train to do from Monday to Friday, that you can win the game. And not every team has that. Not every player has that. But the real good sides have that. If they go there, what they've trained at all week, when they run out onto the field, if they stick to it for 80 minutes, it will work. And that's what happened. You know, like after, mate, being down 18-0, a lot of blokes go, shit, this ain't working. I'm going to have to start changing it. You start doing it. But you just keep on sticking to the work, getting through your sets, doing all the things, building a bit of momentum. And, you know, there was just so many big plays. Like Jack Whiten got the intercept, and Papali, you know, beating, like going right through the middle of the ruck, you know, beating three, and the great Cameron Smith come across as well. It was a great game plan, and they executed it properly. But it took them nearly 80 minutes to win, which is perfect.
Is he the form front rower of the competition this season, Josh Papali?
I would like to say yes. I think he's very good, but the way Payne Haas played on Friday night, I think he's got that mantle just right now. I think we're going to touch on Brisbane later, but that try he scored is the best front rowers try that I've seen in the game. And watching it live in the 73rd minute, to have a big bloke coming off, I don't know how many minutes he plays, big, long, quality minutes. He beat three guys. I think there were two test players, and he's gone through, and he gets to the fullback and beats him. What front rower? It doesn't even go through their head. They're looking for support, thinking, who's with me? Where are you? And he just pinned the ears back and just give him a little left fin, right on the Huckleberry Finn, and down he went.
Melbourne will be okay, though, boys. They'll bounce back.
Well, they've been the benchmark side for so many years now. They've come under enormous scrutiny and conjecture this week. Obviously, a lot of their key senior people have jumped on the front foot and defended the club. They believe attack's the best form of defence. What are you laughing at, Anthony? What are you grinning like?
He would. Yeah. I'm not laughing.
What do you mean, what am I laughing at? I'm listening to what you're saying.
Okay.
What were you saying?
I was saying that the Storm have been under immense scrutiny and conjecture this week. That loss will sting them, and no question, they'll want to bounce back and have a big response.
Okay.
What are you laughing about?
I'm laughing,
mate,
because
you're an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
It normally takes me to the third hour to call you an idiot, but you're an idiot.
No, I think it's fantastic. Great win for the Raiders yesterday.
Sorry, eating gummy bears outside. I don't know what's going on.
I mean, why would you? I'm just happy to be around you guys.
Mate, this is a serious rugby league show.
I know it is, and you guys are doing a fantastic job.
And, you know, I don't know what's wrong with you, because he picked me up again from the airport. Normally, I've got to bring him a coffee. So he's got me a coffee. He said, oh, thanks, mate. And he brought me a flat white. Actually, I don't even know what it was. I don't even think it was a flat white. So for one, that's how
I found it on the desk in there, yeah.
But I said, why did you get me a coffee? I normally get you a coffee. He goes, I needed a paper, so I had to go to Macca's and steal one.
Well, because, see, mate, some of the things that go on in the car, just leave them in the car. I am going to make amends for that.
I thought you'd go over that tea leafing issue.
Yeah, I'm going to make amends for that, but I was running late.
Walk us through it. You actually go into McDonald's and physically tea leaf the paper.
Yeah.
and makes an order, grabs a paper, puts it under his arm, grabs his coffees and walks out.
Yeah, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the paper back this afternoon. I'm going to take the paper back.
You're going to sing the national anthem.
And after you've ripped out all the little segments that you want. No, you're good.
It was the wrong thing. I am going to make amends, but I was running late. I'd forgotten to get a newspaper. I wanted to read the excellent stuff in the Sun Herald today, so I didn't want to miss out and I didn't want to not have it. So,
okay, so what about going to the news agency?
Yeah, you're 100% right, but I was running late. I didn't want to leave you standing at the airport, all right?
Like you did.
Yeah, like I did anyway. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, the great James Triceps Hooper. What are we going to talk about today? Well, there's plenty of rugby league to come up. Nathan Brown, the coach of the Newcastle Knights, will join us shortly. And we talk about the giant killers, the Bulldogs, who are just coming off the bottom of the table. Yes, Paul?
I've just got an email from Matt from Collaroy.
Here we go. Yeah.
He said, great to see Maroon at a function for Northside Bunny supporters. He gets a bad rap for being money hungry, but he did it for only 2K.
Northside Bunny supporters.
Yeah, yeah. So well done, mate. You do get a bad rap for being money. Of course it was cash.
Well, Matt from Collaroy, last night, if you must know, I surrendered my night with my Bunnies people so I could host a fundraiser for my good friend Tony Zappia at the Marconi Club, Victor Chang appeal for heart research and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, you obviously paid attention.
Is that Victor Chang, is it?
Yeah, Victor Chang, yeah. So that's where I was last night, Matt, from Collaroy. I don't know where you're getting your mail, but incorrect.
Did you call Matt from Collaroy a liar? Did you have a Northside Rabbitohs function over the course of the last
week or so, I like to think the Bunnies, Pete, we're all one big happy group. There's no Northside, Southside, Eastside.
You didn't answer the question, Anthony. Did you have a Northside Rabbitohs function over the course of the last couple of weeks?
Yes.
No.
No, you're too good. Yeah.
All you got to worry about is what's going on in your own life. All right?
And your fees come down, which is good.
I don't know what the Northside Rabbitohs are. This guy, Matt from Collaroy, is causing trouble. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent.
I think Matt from Collaroy is pretty
powerful.
2 grand
cash, though. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, mate.
How long were you there for to get that?
I don't do things for the Rabbitohs for cash. It's all love.
All right.
And last night was for love
for
as well.
For the love of cash.
No, for the love. Money might be everything to you, Gordon.
No, it's not.
It's not everything to everyone else, okay? Time out. Okay. There we go. We're going to talk to Knights coach Nathan Brown very shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's. Triple M footy.
And welcome back to Sunday NRL on the Triple League, on the Triple M NRL network at least. Thanks to Tyre Power, the Doggies have now won 5 of their last 7 with a great victory over the Bunnies last night. Congratulations, you Doggies fans. No need to probably text me in the middle of the night, though. Right now, Tyre Power, buy 3 and get 1 free on selected Kumho passenger and SUV tyres. Aren't they the giant killers at the moment, Hoops? Dean Pay and his boys.
Yeah, flying, the Belmore boys. It's a great story. I don't think too many people gave them a chance against the might of the South Sydney Rabbitohs last night, Anthony, but they've now dropped 3 in a row, and as their coach Wayne Bennett said, it's not terminal yet, but it's not far off because September's only just around the corner. But for the Bulldogs, you know, it's a terrific vindication for Dean Pay and what he's been trying to do there. Their season started horrendously and obviously didn't go the way that they wanted, but the way that they've been able to steady themselves and run into some form. Tremendous result for the club.
Yeah, 5 wins from their last 7 and some good players going there next year, Gordy, including Joey Stimson from the Melbourne Storm. So certainly Dean Pay, certainly they can attract some quality players.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what Dean Pay, I don't understand where the Bulldogs were at when he took over that, you know, they keep on shopping coaches around in front of him. I think the way he played his footy, and how long it's going to take to turn that place around. Because when you've got a dominant coach like a Desi Haslow, I think it takes a bit of time before you start getting some traction. And the way they're playing now, and they beat the Melbourne Storm. So, mate, when they get it right and they got their full complement of players, I think the Dogs, I think Dean Pay's done a really good job. And next year, if they keep on getting, because there's talk maybe Ramian as well going there. So, mate, if they can keep on building their roster slowly, they're going to be pretty good. I reckon they can turn it around a bit quicker than what most people thought.
Yeah, look, it's really important to build your roster, and it's not, people got to understand how difficult it can be sometimes. The days of being able to have a quick turnaround as far as players in and players out, they're not. It's not as easy now as it used to be before the salary cap was so, I suppose, so heavily policed, is probably the way to say that. And I just think that when you've got a team like the Bulldogs where the salary cap got bent out of shape, you've got to really get it back into shape. Now, you talk to Des Hasler, he'll insist that if he remained at the club, the salary cap wouldn't have been an issue, he would have been able to deal with it. That's fine. But the fact is that under this new administration, they can't juggle the balls like Des was juggling the ball, so they've got to try and find their way out of it. And they're slowly getting there. Like they do things like they get Dylan Napier in and Aaron Woods out, and everybody says, well, you've basically changed, you know, Clemmer out, changed like for like. But what they do is they pick up another $300,000 in the cap by doing that.
Yeah.
That's what these moves are about, and that's what the Bulldogs have done, I think, pretty well this year. And I think that Dean Pay's going to continue to do that.
There's a great story in the Sunday Telegraph today by James Phelps called the Belmore Blueprint, Anthony, which details, you know, some of the tough decisions that they had to make. Kenty just touched on it there, where they've let players like David Clemmer and Aaron Woods and Moses Emboy and, you know, big-name blokes who are on big money, they've let them go, and they've made a number of sacrifices, invested in youth, brought younger players onto the roster and threw into the ranks. But what that means is they're going to have a big checkbook to go into the open market and try and land some of the biggest names in the game for 2021. Mm. So the Trbojevic brothers have been identified. I don't know. I think that's a bit of a hard ask trying to get them out of the Northern Beaches and out of the Seagulls. Latrell Mitchell's another player that I know that they've discussed heavily internally and made an approach through a third party at a couple of different stages. Those talks are ongoing. But the new administration of the club, and it's Lynn Anderson and it's Chris Anderson, they are starting to turn the club into the style of organisation that they want. Their sell was always they were going to turn it back to the family club and the Canterbury way, and that's what they're doing. And, you know, to Kenty's point earlier, as you know, it can be tricky trying to juggle balls and manage a salary cap. But if there's one thing you're good at, Anthony, it's cash.
I thought you were going to say juggling balls, but anyway, that's probably a discussion for another day. Congratulations, Doggies fans. It wasn't so long ago they were down in the cellar. And now 4 points.
Mate, what is wrong with you? Take that
what
paper back.
Can you, me?
Can you restart the day? Can you just go back, get out of bed the other way, give back the paper, don't bring me the wrong coffee?
I just meant juggling balls, like as in tennis balls or something you might see in the circus, which is probably where you'd be right at home. Herbs, the way you're travelling.
On the back of Matt from Collaroy's text, we've just had a text from Belvedere at Long Reef.
Yeah.
He's suggesting that you might have had some sort of soundproof studio put in.
I did,
at the Little Bay Compound this week.
I have had. As you know, I run a small business. I'm a bit of an entrepreneur. I have had a studio put in at the house. So just to be clear, if anybody needs any sort of ads written or read or anything like that, I can do it now from the Little Bay Compound. And just to get back to something you said earlier, I'm not adverse to going to Canberra. If there is any gigs in Canberra, just to backtrack, it's not that far.
Right.
Okay.
I've just got an email from the Victor Chang Foundation too, Anthony. They said, could Maroon double check his role? We fear we may have shortchanged him 200.
No, it was me giving. I was giving last night at the beautiful club, Marconi. What an operation he's got running out there, Zap.
They are. They're concerned, so.
No need to be concerned. I'm happy to give my time, as you all know. But my poor old Rabbitohs. Now, they're on a losing streak. Let's remember, Gordon, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat against the Dragons to win that game.
Yeah, I thought they turned the corner last week because they had a fair few opportunities to beat Melbourne. It was on Kyle Turner's side, and I think if they had a classy centre, and it's not his fault because he's a back rower going out there to fill a spot, I thought that they might have got Melbourne because they created so many opportunities. I thought, well, that's going to kickstart them, just a typical Wayne Bennett style. They had a bit of a lull after Origin, and he nurses you through that. He rests the players and, you know, start to build for the final series. But to get beaten by the Dogs the way they did, and it looks like Sam Burgess, you know, might have hurt himself. He said that he might have pulled something, and that's, you know, I know, well, like, if you read his lips, he goes, oh, I think I've pulled something to the trainer. So you don't know whether it's a hamstring or quad or something. But
I think it's his quad, Gordon.
Quad, yes.
Because that's why he missed the Melbourne Storm game. At Gosford last weekend. Mm. And he carried it into the game. And you're right, he mentioned it in a Fox League interview after the game. He said, oh, look, I think I've got a little issue with my quad. I tried to get up the full throttle there and I couldn't go as quick as I wanted to. So I reckon one of the bigger picture issues for the Bunnies over the course of the last 2 months, Gordy, has been that Sam hasn't been there the majority of the time. And when he is, he's trying to play busted. He had that infection in his shoulder. He had the pick line drip put in. He's had complications with his quad as well. He's a lion heart. Yeah. He wants to be out there, but you'd know having
well,
been
you
there
save
how
players,
hard is it when, you,
well,
when
you
you're trying to play
well, you've got to save players
hurt.
Like that from themselves because you only get judged on how you play. No matter how injured, no one knows how injured you are when you go out there and play. But I thought Wayne Bennett would be smarter than that. And I know he always puts a lot of pressure on his players. He puts a hell of a lot of pressure. Even when you back up, like Wayne Bennett said, mate, listen, go out there, play Origin, and you have Friday off. Don't worry about it. The phone call would come Thursday morning. Hey, mate, just come to train and get a massage and see how you feel. And then, oh, mate, just play 20 minutes or 40 minutes. And I'll put sure enough, you end up playing 80 minutes or whatever. So there's pressure for the big guys because they give everybody else confidence. But I think with Sam, he does need to get himself right because they can't win without him.
Yeah, you're right. They've got to just rest him now and just get him fully fit for the finals because they can't win the premiership without
and
him.
And save him from himself, even though he's chomping at the bit.
I was going to say,
I think that's
the bigger issue as well, is that he insists on playing. He had that
because
drip
you feel
in his
guilty.
Shoulder and he's at trying to run laps.
I know, because you feel guilty that you're letting the boys down. And it's, you know, and Sam's got that in spades, you know, like how he wants to play and, you know, he'd be one of those blokes that you just would love to play, but you've got to save him. Like, as I said, save him from himself. Say, listen, mate, you're not going to play for 2 weeks. No matter how much you come to me, go away, get your body right, freshen up.
Looks as though they've lost Braden Burns as well, Anthony. Yeah. So that's a big loss. He missed 12 weeks earlier in the season with that hamstring issue. Looks as though he's torn it again, and that'll be his season over. And Gordy, does that mean that they have to turn to the likes of Kyle Turner and Ethan Lowe as makeshift centres?
Yeah, well, that's Wayne always believes in picking the best 17 players in your club and putting them out there somewhere. Like, I remember he put Tony Carroll at 5'8", because defensively, let's just do this, mate. We'll get our 14 or we'll get our 18 points, but we defend. And he puts out the best defensive side he possibly can and guys that are experienced that don't make mistakes.
All right,
Anthony, obviously, you know, because you're a tragic South fan, I saw that you're trying to get that tattoo lasered off.
I would never try and do that.
Oh,
Gordon,
okay.
You'd know that. You know I would never do that.
Well,
you know I'd never do anything like that.
Well, because you asked me, could I get you any deals to get it lasered off?
No, I didn't ask you that. Now, what did we say about you telling lies? Huh? What did we say about you?
Can you start? Singing the national anthem. Easy.
Taking
the paper
I'm
back.
Happy to sing the national anthem. As we discussed, on the field of the NRL Grand Final.
No, you never said on the field. There's another lie. No, don't start picking holes in lies.
No, listen, you're telling lies about me, okay? Now, there's enough gone on here this week on this show without you starting to make up stories
like
about
what?
Oh, I don't want to take it to... I don't come to work, Gordon, and everything that goes on behind the scenes, bring it up on air.
Okay, Chuck.
All right? Broncos.
So you bring that up.
What's your assessment on the Bunnies at the moment? You're loud and proud Souths. What's your view?
I think they've got a couple of hard. They've got the Broncos this week, which there'll be a lot of interest in that game for a lot of different reasons, obviously. Then the Warriors, then the Roosters. So they should be able to win two of those top three, at least. And I think if once you finish in the top four, mate, it's a whole new ball game. And if Sam's back and Sam's fit, I still think the Rabbitohs can win the premiership.
Does George come back too?
They're not in the top four, though. They've fallen out.
I know they've fallen out.
You think they'll finish in the top four?
I think they'll finish in the top four.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they'll finish in the top four. Mate, there's still three rounds to go. Every time we look at the competition ladder, someone else has popped up out of nowhere. A couple of weeks ago, your mob, the West Tigers, launched in from nearly second last into the top eight. Now, where are they? It changes every week. That's why we call it a competition table. It changes every week. That's part of the spice of life. The Bunnies will finish in the top four, and I think they'll play in the grand final.
Oh, mate, you're
good to see you sticking solid, Anthony.
Well, that's right. Broncos, they'll beat the Broncos next week. Warriors, well,
there's a fair bit of spice. Speaking of spice, there's a fair bit of spice in that grudge match between Brisbane and Souths.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Bunnies carved them up round, you know, earlier in the season. It was round six. Yeah,
flogged
and,
them.
And Brisbane were going through a very tough time, and there was a lot of transition issues, all the rest of it. But there's going to be a lot of feeling in this game,
especially if Pangai. So Pangai's tackle, which was pretty nasty, and you got Turpin that swung and hit Dylan Edwards when he was, you know, 30 centimetres off. So both of those guys have charges. Did Lodge get... No, Lodge didn't
get charged, but Turpin will have to miss a couple of weeks. Like, there's no way he's going to get off that old-fashioned stiff arm. But on the Pangai one, Gordy, the only thing I don't get with it, and I like the fact that the Match Review Committee has charged, they should for tackles like that. How does he get a grade two for that? And Nelson Asofa Solomona doesn't get anything for the week before.
No, because one was grabbing. They're two totally different tackles. One is diving on the bloke's top of his head, right? Which I like his aggression, right? And Gus Gould said that, you know, soon in 20 years' time, you know, they're trying to get out all this intimidation. I love the way he plays. But when you play aggressive, you can get it wrong because you're so close to the red line. You go in that hard if they move. But when the guy's on the ground and you jump on him, right, he didn't hit him. And the only place he jumped was on the back of his neck. I think that's dangerous. I've had a neck.
Yeah.
Mate, I've had neck surgery. I think that there was only one intent in that tackle, and that was to cause harm to James Maloney, you know. And then with Nelson and Solomon, like, then he's to the side. And I do agree that they're like Melbourne are grabbing the head, but that's the referee now just say, hold on, as soon as you grab the head, because it's not so much swinging, but they get a handle, you know, like obviously, like, yeah, they used to grab like the underhook, like around the elbows.
Yep.
Well now they grab around the neck, and then obviously you go down with them. So I think it's a ploy from Melbourne's one, but I don't think that was as bad as what Pangai did. If I was a player and Nelson did that, I'd be dirty, but it wouldn't be as dirty as if someone jumped on the back of my neck.
I think Jake Turpin's very lucky to only get a grade two.
Yeah,
like the measure of a dangerous stiff arm in the pass is whether the fist was clenched. His fist was clenched. Like, he was definitely swinging that arm.
Do you know what? They're going to miss him. He is their barometer. Mm. He's unbelievable. To be a hooker, to come and be a mateship number seven and play the way he's playing. He's their energy. He's got everything. They might bring Dearden back, because apparently they're going to put Dearden and Cotton Wool, the Broncos, and wait till the end of next year because he's come back to train and he hurt his ankle. So
yeah.
Brisbane now have got to find a number seven. They're trying to teach a 32-year-old fullback to play 5'8", which Darius was a little bit better. I think he doubled his metres. He made 2 metres this week. And Milford, who played, I don't know, that was a joke. Darius actually played pretty good.
That was a joke.
There's criticism that he had one run for 1 metre, but it's not how many
but
metres
you Paul make. Told you, you Paul up. Told you once, when you tell a joke, you don't have to say that was a joke.
Well, you didn't get it because you're sitting there with your mouth open catching flies.
I've got that.
Wake up, Anthony. We're doing a show.
I've got that Gus Gould audio for you here, boys.
Did Scotty get his...
The feeling I get in the game at the moment is they don't want any intimidation in the game. They don't want any aggression. But somehow we've got to play a game that's pure from intimidation, aggression, or trying to, you know, discourage your opponent with physicality. I don't agree with it. You know, I think the game should be about intimidation, and the game should be about aggression. And you're going to sail close to the wind. We can't stop everyone getting hurt.
What did you think of that, Paul?
Oh, I tend to agree to a certain extent. But the problem is coaches have basically their own worst enemy, because when the game is played at its, in the right way, it is a great game, and there is intimidation is a big part of it, and that physicality and dominating your opponent is all part of the game. But the coaches go away and they find these secret, sneaky, underhanded ways to actually injure people and hurt people and do things. And that because that's so deliberate, I think that's where the issue is, and that's what the game's trying to get out. Unfortunately for the coach, see, this is the real sadness of rugby league, I think. Coaches want two things. They want consistency, and they want the interpretation of the rules, okay? So they go to the NRL and they say, okay, why is this a penalty and why is this not, okay? And the NRL say, well, you did this here and you did that there or whatever. And the coaches will go, okay, well, you're going to be consistent on that now, are you? And the NRL, thinking it's a good idea, says, yes, they do. So then what happens is the coaches, rather than go away and say, okay, guys, this is what we're allowed to do and this is what we're not allowed to do anymore, they don't do that. What they do is they go, okay, they sit down, they have a meeting with the other their assistants, and they go, all right, if this is the parameters where we're now allowed to operate in, how can we bend that or operate within that to bend the rules to us? So they try and figure out ways to sort of exploit the rules. And that's what's happening. Like, talking about intimidation and physicality, that's fine. But when you start to systematically do crusher tackles to physically intimidate your opponents, that's not right.
Yeah.
There's nobody's against anybody lining up an opponent, driving and hitting the old fashioned drive through the tackle and knock him over. Yeah. But we don't do that anymore. The way we defend now is you catch the guy, then the second guy comes in and wraps him up, and then the third guy goes around, gets behind and comes in and attacks the legs where you can't see, where you're vulnerable, you can't protect yourself against that. So the coaches are continually finding ways to not only exploit the rules but to injure their opponents in those ways. And that's what the game's trying to get rid of.
Yeah, and that annoys me because they want to have control. When if you ask a coach 20 years ago, after Thursday, they say that they had no control. So they hope that all the work was on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Sometimes on that captain's run, if they knew that, you know, that there was a little bit of, you know, the boys not on, that they could turn you around. You know what I mean? But like winning started Monday. Now they still want control up into the box and to be sending out messages. They don't have it up there. Once the players get to the game, it's their own responsibility. And I'm over coaches, right? So when I played, and I keep on going back to that, there was one bloke in each team that would push the rules. Whether it was Terry Lamb that would always be offside and give you a little cheap shot, and Alf was always offside and, you know, be into the referees, and Les Davison was a tough guy that would punch you or whatever. Now everybody's doing it. To a point, a winger will run in to push a front rower in the face. It's actually embarrassing. And they're coached to do it now. And then the referees are under so much pressure. Back in the day, there was one player from each team that they'd say, like Mario Fenwick, Mario, you settle down today. I don't want to have your problem. Maybe I might have been the player at certain stages. But now all 17 are trained to break the rules on every single play, whether it's holding down. And then the referees have too much responsibility.
And we talked earlier about the bubble and the carpet effect. And one of the effects of getting rid of punching and fighting in the game these days is all those little, just those little shitty little things that people do, you know, on the field. So in the old days, if you did something that was a grub act, you had every expectation that the bloke would get up, and if you've done something grubby to him, he'll get up and smack you in the mouth.
Absolutely.
And so you had to take that into consideration. But now a bloke does a grubby thing. Like we saw that on the weekend with Turpin. Turpin, it was a swinging arm with a clenched fist. Straight into the head of an opponent. Now, would he have done that if he knew the guy, you know, it was Maloney? So Maloney's probably a bad example. But would he have done that if he known someone was going to grab him by the neck and smack him in the mouth?
Not.
No, probably not.
I know this sounds a bit barbaric. I'd bring back the punch and it'd stop it all. I reckon about 10 occasions on Friday night when I was calling Broncos first Penrith, they run in pushing. Like they run in every tackle.
It's ridiculous.
Back in the day, if I hit, say, because I think Paul Green's protector was Les Davison. I think Stephen Kearney got him like a heap. Mm. And Paul Green wins. He said, Les, how long are you going to keep letting this bloke get into me? Well, Steve Kearney got carried off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's what happened. So, like, Les just, so that's what happened. So, if you pick on someone.
Did he punch him or did he just iron him out?
Yeah, I think he ironed him out. Mm. Yeah, like, just hit him. But that's what happened. So, then you have to play within the rules. So, if you're niggling and being that pest, you got, mate, you got sorted out.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's been a real consequence of getting rid of punching. You got all these blokes now. Suddenly, all the little blokes are a lot braver than they used to be.
Absolutely.
And we've got a lot of little niggly stuff in the game that just wouldn't be there if you had to take into.
We're trying to keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
And we can't as a game. And rugby league is not for everybody. I know that. We're trying to make it for everybody. It's not for everybody. The people that play it tick different to the bloke that's playing catch and kick or going playing basketball. We tick different to them, like boxers or whatever, or UFC fighters. They tick different to us. Swimmers tick different to most other people. Mm. But what happens is we can't soften it to make everybody, to make little Mary's mum and dad come and watch the game.
Equally as bad as the wingers or the little playmakers running in like Muhammad Ali or George Foreman is the handbags at 10 paces, slaps.
When
we're, you know, like blokes come up in your day, Gordon, like you go back, there's that vision of, I think it's Blocker Roach and Les Davidson where they square off at a scrum and Blocker lands one. Like that was how it used to be. These days, you get blokes come up and because you can't punch, the fist ends up becoming an open palm and it's handbags.
What's worse, watching a 30-second fight or a three-minute melee that happens now.
Yes,
the melee.
Well, it is called
a melee. It's the melee.
No, but it is. And then they stand there and they all push and they shove it.
It sounds disappointing, melee. Oh,
it's melee madness, Anthony.
Yes, it's melee madness. In here today.
It's Anthony's middle name.
Go ahead, tell us, Paul Kent. James Thanks, Hooper and Maroon are still to come. We're going to talk a little bit about the Newcastle Knights. Mm. We're going to talk too about. We're going to speak to Corey Harawira Naira from the Doggies as well. That's
they
all coming up
three times.
And we've got a brand new segment called the Maroon Five, which we are going to do
you're
next.
You're the best ever.
That's Triple M Rocks the Footy. Best.
Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL, a great big local derby today, Cronulla versus the
God,
Dragons.
God, you smell nice, Anthony.
Yeah, well, he's just picked up someone's perfume in here and sprayed it all over me. Well, whose perfume is that? And, I mean, who are you to spray it? That would have cost somebody good money.
That could be assault.
No, just...
straight to HR,
whose perfume is that? Yeah, like a song from the 60s.
You can't just go up and spray people.
Yeah. Anyway, boys, because...
can't go up and spray people. You do it. That's your living, spraying people.
Mate, you'll be in line if you get... Listen, mate, I'll look after you. You need to be very, very mindful of the fact.
Now,
I'm the one bite.
Keep it up, mate. I'll let possums go.
I'm the one bite that makes you look good.
Any more possum action happening, Paul?
Mate, I've got an opossum. I can't catch this one.
You're right.
He's clever, this one. Oh, he's just. I'm on to my third one now. It's sending me nuts, to be honest.
Still got the trap?
Yeah, the trap's sitting there.
Are they babies that have been up in the roof, or you don't know?
I've got no idea. This one I can't find. He just.
Yeah.
He leaves a mess everywhere.
He's like the Malcolm Naden of possum.
He is.
He turns up and eats and then...
Turns up, eats. You know he's been there, but you just don't know when, so...
The old vegetarian border, he eats roots and leaves. Yeah. Time for this.
It's time. For the Maroon 5.
So, what I did, I thought here, boys... they called me in here to the office through the week and they said, listen, mate.
Last chance.
We want you to come up with a... No, they said, you know, come up with a... We need to come up with a segment because you blokes like to talk about things other than rugby league.
Yes.
Sometimes we get off the point. Sometimes we get away from rugby league. We can't get back on the point. Let's give you a little window where you can just get off the point and talk about whatever I want. Okay, so this is called the Maroon 5 and today I'm going to ask you 5 questions about... Well, I was in the other day, as you know, I'm a small business operator, a little bit of a small entrepreneur working in the offices of Red Rocket Industries there in Little Bay. And I was in a waiting room waiting to meet with a legal type. And I picked up a magazine and start reading about driverless cars and how by 2035 there'll be just driverless cars everywhere.
Mm.
And it got me thinking about these driverless cars. What would they be like? How do they operate? First of all, Paul, I asked myself the question, how do you sit in a driverless car? I mean, if you're not driving it, there's no need for you to be sitting the way we sit in a car now. We could all be sitting around like a picnic table.
Can I just ask how long this section is going to go?
it's going to require you to have some feedback into the...
Right, driverless cars. Okay, yeah. Beauty.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
Right.
So when you catch those team buses over in England where you've got the table where you can sit around playing
cards. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You can have a little fridge in there.
Yeah,
you know what this segment is?
Crack a couple of King Browns.
Well, I don't know. That's another question I have.
Can you drink drive when it's driverless?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
No, I don't think you're allowed to have alcohol open in vehicles anymore.
But if you're not driving the driverless car... But first question:
if you're a passenger and you say, "Listen, I'm not the driver of this driverless car,"
exactly,
I'm the passenger.
What a can of worms it is! The driverless car.
You know,
this segment is flying.
Yes,
it is going to win awards.
Yeah. This is what happens when you got too much time to yourself.
And when you go through the drive-through, who pays?
Exactly,
because normally the driver.
See,
this is up for an Acra.
This is up for an Acra already.
It's just gone up online. Social media's lit up. This is already up for an Acra Maroon 5.
You were buying into it, Oops, and then you realised you were, so you pulled out. You said, hang on, I'm actually finding this interesting. Okay, the other thing is, just go with me on this one. The driverless car, what if you're at home, you have had a couple of King Browns, you know, and you ring up for a pizza and a couple more King Browns, can the driverless car just go and get it for you?
So who's going to get out and pick them up?
Who picks up the King Browns?
Well, you pay for it over the line. over the phone, online, somebody just brings them, plonks them into the car with the pizzas.
I like it, Anthony.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, know, I'm asking mate, the question, could you do that?
Well, you would hope that you could.
Right.
And then you'd buy one of the cars.
What about you two mental midges trying to make this sound interesting?
Yeah. No, it is. It is interesting.
No, see, because Paul's got a problem because he can't see over the steering wheel, so he doesn't know, whether we can see out the windows.
That's how much you know, then. if you stand on the seat, you can certainly see out the window.
Which you would be able to do in a driverless car.
Mm. Yes.
But boys, no, I like it.
You like the new segment?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Wow. Right. So was that number one?
Well, are we going through five of these?
No.
Was that it?
That's it. That's it.
So it should be Maroon 1.
No, well, we did five. We did five topics. I did one, and then you all raised a couple more topics. So congratulations, boys. And did you want to find out what else I've got here?
Yes.
Yeah, well, hang on. I thought you didn't like it. I thought Maroon 5. Oh,
okay. Mate,
well,
I love it.
Just get the persuader out a little bit and give it a couple of weeks.
I also had this one.
I'm an optimist, and it can only improve.
Okay, I'm going to end on this one. You as a practical joker, Hoops, you are a practical joker. As are you, Paul, and so are you, Gordon.
Yes.
If you saw my driverless car up the shops, if you could send it up the shops without me, and you saw my driverless car up the shops and you said, there's Maroon's driverless car, I know its PIN code because he lent it to me one day, could you punch the PIN code in and send someone's driverless car off to Coffs Harbour for the day?
I'd send it to the Breakfast Creek Hotel in Brisbane.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Could you do that?
Via the Winston Glaze car wash.
Well, that's it. The award-winning segment, the Maroon 5.
Listen, you can't put Hoops near it because the New South Wales team will spray paint it. But it wasn't them.
Yeah. Well done, Gordy. You saved that segment for me. And social media says it'll be back next week. The Maroon 5 will continue next week. And we'll be back with more shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.